Hello and welcome to The Naked Englishman. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life on the 12th of May 2025. It's coming up to 8 o'clock, I think, in the morning. Bit of a croaky voice today. Had a reaction to a plant that I was... just some weeds, actually. They come up every year and they do the same thing. They make me sneeze. Well, there's a whole load by the... in the lane by the wall, and Julia was coming up and I thought, oh, I'll just try and clear a space of these bloody weeds. Anyway, you know how dry everything was. It was so dry that as I pulled out a mass portion of these, I forgot really, I thought that I didn't think their spores were ready to come out, but they were. And as I pulled it, a huge cloud of dust and spores and everything, and within 5 minutes I was sneezing. There was spots on my arms, bumps, and my nose and oratory tract and everything just suddenly leapt into action. And yes, eyes were weeping. So I had a big reaction to just that. It's amazing how it can happen just like that. But there you go. That is how these things can attack you. But over the day, because the body is very clever and it wants to heal itself, and I, you know, did all the necessary, so it's all good. Only it's just my throat is still just a little bit croaky, really, but otherwise I feel fine. I did sleep with a bit of a bunged up nose, but of course, you know, I focused on the healing. Today we have less. It rained after that. It rained last night. We needed the rain. Gardens needed the rain. So we had a beautiful day and we went down to the parks. We went and had ice cream on the seafront, two days running, really. Julia was having a bit of time out because we were going to go up, I think I mentioned before, up to somewhere in Lincolnshire. Julia had arranged for her mum to look after the kids, and then she didn't know, but I just made the decision not to go because nobody was expecting me, and it was a very long way, and there was no money, so... not really enough to warrant going that direction. Different if we were up on that way and it was only a couple of hours away, but a 10-hour drive, I mean, please. So, you know, I hate letting people down. That's the thing. Is that the cat going bonkers? The cat is somewhere in here, going a bit mad. I don't know if he's in or out now. I shut the door. So, yes, everything's a bit damp. It's all a bit damp. Now, I read to you the other day, did I not? Chris Hare, a lovely Chris Hare, posted something through the letterbox about Richard Jefferies, Goring's famous naturalist and philosopher. And I believe he died at 39, which is a very young age to die. But he did write. I mean, blimey, you know, if people had waited for me to write at 39, they'd be sorely waiting. But he wrote this novel called After London, or Wild England. And it says it's a speculative fiction novel. So I thought I had not heard of that, so I wrote off for it. And as they say, I wrote off for it, and it came by the 3 o'clock post. I've also got The Story of My Heart, an autobiography, which is a very slim book. But unfortunately, this has been, by Richard Jefferies, has been printed in the most cheapest way possible. These are all reprints, you see. They're not the originals. And because of that, whoever it was has put it into a slim volume with the most tiniest text font. I don't even know if I'd be able to read it. It is so titchy. I mean, you could get it on the head of a pin. You really need good eyesight to read this. It says here, "The story of my heart commences 17 years ago in the glow of youth. There were times, every now and then, when I left the necessity of a strong inspiration of soul thought. My heart was dusty, patched for want of the rain of deep feeling. My mind, arid and dry, for there is dust which settles on the heart as well as that which falls on a ledge. It is injurious to the mind as well as the body to be always in one place and always surrounded by the circumstances. A species of thick clothing slowly grows about the mind. The pores are choked, little habits become part of the existence, and by degrees the mind is enclosed in a husk. When this begins to form, I felt eager to escape from it, to throw off the heavy clothing, to drink deeply once more at a fresh fountainations. At that fresh foundation, sorry, the text is so tiny, it must be like 6 point or something. He says, blowing his hooter, because he's still got this cold coming out. To the fresh foundations of life. An inspiration, a long deep breath of the pure air of thought, could alone give health to the heart. There is a hill to which I used to resort at such periods. The labour of walking 3 miles to it, all the while gradually ascending, seemed to clear my blood of the heaviness accumulated at home. On a warm summer's day, the slow, continual rise required continual effort, which carried away the sense of oppression. The familiar everyday scene was soon out of sight, and I came to trees, meadows, and fields. I began to breathe a new air and to have a fresher aspiration. I restrained my soul till reached the sward of the hill. Psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E is always a word that sort of confuses me. Psyche, is it psyche? The soul that belongs to the loose. I would write psyche always instead of soul, psyche, perhaps it is, to avoid meanings which have become attached to the word soul. But it is awkward to do so. Clumsy, indeed, are all words with the moment the wooden stage of commonplace life is left. I restrained psyche, my soul, till I reached and put my foot on the grass at the beginning of the green hill itself. You may suddenly be thinking, what the hell was that about? And I was just agreeing with you. The other book, After London, is much more interesting. And it talks about... It talks about what happens. I don't really know what it talks about, really, because I haven't read it. Let me just read you a little bit at the beginning of the front page, because it's quite curious. The old men say their fathers told them that soon after the fields were left to themselves, a change began to be visible. It became green everywhere in the first spring, after London ended, so that all the country looked alike. The meadows were green, and so were the rising wheat which had been sown, but which neither had nor would receive any further care. Such arable fields as had not been sown, but were the last stubble, had been ploughed up, were overrun with couch grass. And where the short stubble had not been ploughed, the weeds hid it. So there was no place which was not more or less green. The footpaths were the greenest of all, for such is the nature of grass where it has once been trodden on, and by, as the summer came on the former roads, were thinly covered with the grass that had spread out from the margin. In the autumn, as the summer... Again, I should point out, this is not an ordinary book. This is a reprint. Somebody's reprinted, and what they have done... God knows how they... must have copied and pasted the text... because you come to the end of a line, you think it's the end of a line, it's very short, and then so it's ragged text, not justified. And then some lines have some lines are like very few, but it's carried on to the next line. It's a very weird thing that they've done in trying to get this book done. And then some words have numbers in them, as if that whatever it was that transposed it has failed. It's outrageous, really, because you would never release a book like this. In the autumn, as the meadows were not mown, the grass withered as it stood, falling this way and that as the wind had blown it. The seeds dropped and the bennets became a greyish white, or, where the docks and sorrel were thick, a brownish red. The wheat, after it had ripened, there being no one to reap it, also remained standing, and was eaten by clouds of sparrows, rooks, and pigeons, which flocked to it, and were undisturbed, feasting at their pleasure. As the winter came on, the crops were beaten down by the storms, soaked with the rain, and trodden upon by herds of animals. I need another. Hooter blow. You get the idea. So this is that, like, London for some reason has been abandoned, and it talks about the landscape and the houses and what have you that have been encroached by nature. And it's very imaginative, because in some ways I think this is probably likely even now what would happen. Next summer, the prostrate straw of the preceding year was concealed by the young green wheat and barley that sprang up from the grain, sown by dropping from the ears, and by quantities of dock, thistles, oxeye daisies, and similar plants. This matted mass grew up through the bleached straw. Charlock, too, hid the rotting roots in the fields under a blaze of yellow flower. The young spring meadow grass could scarcely push its way up through the long dead grass and bennets of the previous year. But docks and thistles, sorrels, wild carrots and nettles found no such difficulty. Footpaths were concealed by the second year, but roads could be traced, though as green as sward, and were still the best for walking, because the tangled wheat and weeds in the meadows, the long grass, and in the meadows, the long grass caught the feet of those who tried to pass through. Year by year, the original crops of wheat, barley, oats, and beans asserted their presence by shooting up, but in gradual diminishing force, as nettles and coarser plants, such as wild parsnips, spread out into the fields from the ditches and choked them. Aquatic grasses from the furrows and the water carriers extended into the meadows, and with the rushes helped to destroy or take the place of the former sweet herbage. Meanwhile, brambles, which grew very fast, had pushed forward their prickly runners farther and farther from the hedges, till they now reached 10 or 15 yards. The briars had followed, and the hedges had widened to 3 or 4 times their first breadth, the fields being equally contracted. Starting from all sides at once, these brambles and briars, in the course of about 20 years, met in the centre of the largest fields. Hawthorn bushes sprang up among them, and protected by briars and thorns from grazing animals, the suckers of elm trees rose and flourished. Sapling ashes, oaks, sycamores, and horse chestnuts lifted their heads. Of old time, the cattle would have eaten off the seed leaves with the grass so soon that they were out of the ground, but now most of the acorns that were dropped by birds, and the keys that were wafted by wind, twirling as they floated, took root and grew into trees. By this time the bramble and briars had choked up and blocked the former roads, which were as impassable as the fields. So it talks of a time, and it describes there very graphically, and I'm sorry about the reading, because of the way it's been written, and it's first thing in the morning. Well, not first thing, but you know what I mean. And a bit croggy. It shows nature is the most powerful thing if we don't keep a check on it. As it said, over 20 years, woof, the landscape has disappeared because nature is abundant. It is absolutely incredible. Anyway, that came yesterday, so I was very pleased to get to receive it. I'm going to upload this. I've got to go and do my video, I've got things to do today. So I have abandoned a few things over the weekend, but I shall get back on it today. Thank you for listening, if you did, and I will catch up with you on the morrow. Take care. Toodle-pip.